Good afternoon. It's time for Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Megan Turnquist in studio. Randy Cunnan is reporting from the U.S. Custom Harvesters Annual Convention in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We take you there.
Ag labor continues to be the priority for custom harvesters. USCHI President J.C. Skemper says new ag labor laws are adding more burden for custom harvesters.
The definition of ag labor is they want to put our H-2A guys in combines or choppers and grain carts only, not to be able to let them drive trucks. So they don't want them to get a CDL. They don't want them getting that commercial trucking part. So I'm going to say 90% of the guys we're bringing over here are probably the truck drivers that we're using to get our grain from the field to market. And if we can't use these guys to transport our combines and our tractors and cars and choppers across state lines on trucks, who's going to do it? We're going to do it one at a time, because that's not productive at all. So we really need to make sure we get in front of that and keep the laws that we already have going and be able to use those guys to drive our commercial vehicles.
Skemper says one alternative to foreign labor is finding domestic labor.
That's right. So we actually have a vendor here that's offering American labor. He is actually a person that can find you American labor. It's something new, but I think he's really going to be a hit here at the convention. And coming to convention, we'll get you in front of him and we get a face-to-face handshake with that guy, and maybe he can help you out with finding American labor. So we're really glad he's here, and I hope something like him can work out for us, because there's no other option besides either advertising yourself or going to H-2A. And the H-2A is starting to become a problem for all of us.
The 2020 U.S. Custom Harvesters and Incorporated Annual Convention continues through Saturday at the Hot Springs Convention Center. Reporting from Hot Springs, Arkansas, for the Red River Farm Network, I'm Randy Conan.
Atwood, Kansas Custom Combiner and U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated board member Josh Beckley wrapped up his 2019 harvest in decent shape.
Our harvest wasn't so difficult as the rest of y'all had in the north. You know, we had a freeze at about the right time, and all of our corn had just made black layers, so it all weighed good, and then we warmed up and dried out, and we were able to just keep going until we were done. You know, most of us finished up mid-November.
Well, the wheat crop is small. There is optimism about the 2020 crop.
So far, it's looking pretty good. Again, small, but they're all telling me, you know, they're getting some moisture through the winter, and got a good start anyway. They're looking forward to it. You know, some of the guys that don't typically put fertilizer on, a lot of them are starting to put some of that on and thinking about a little bit of fungicide even to keep it its top quality.
The KMOT Ag Expo in Minot seems to be a turning point as growers focus on the upcoming growing season. Westbred Wheat Technical Product Manager Grant Mehring says the difficult field conditions are a talking point.
There's a lot of no-till farmers out here, and have done a great job with no-till over the last 20 years. And one thing that I've talked with a fair few times is just how are we going to get into these fields, and how are we going to fix some ruts, historic ruts that I've never seen before. And so we're thinking about creative ways to do that, finding equipment that maybe they don't have anymore because they've been so long-term no-till. But that is a topic that's coming up. Some people are really worried about it, and some people are just, well, it's going to be tough, but we'll figure it out one way or the other.
Mehring says now is the time to plan.
You only have one chance to plant the crop, and everything stems from there. All your management decisions and your opportunity for upward yield and productivity, and eventually your bottom line. And so I just want to make sure that we're being conscious of how do we get the best seed-to-soil contact in some of these soils that are just, they're ruined for the short term.
Even with the late planting or saturated soils, Mehring encourages growers to use a diverse mix of varieties.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is traveling in Europe this week, meeting with EU Commissioner for Agriculture and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations and others. Trade discussions with the EU are in the works. Perdue says agriculture still needs to be included in the deal, and phytosanitary measures must be addressed.
We think they can get very close to equalizing our trade balance between the two entities if they do that. And obviously, our pathogen treatment for poultry would be part of that. We've been very clear this week that we believe that the pathogen reduction treatment that we use, parasitic acid, is a very safe product that's acknowledged worldwide, and obviously our U.S. consumers consume it all the time. And
geographical indications are also a part of the discussions.
America was settled for a large part by European immigrants who came and used the same language that they used in Europe over these products from where they were, and we feel like they are generic in scope and have no basis in trademarks or those kind of things. They obviously feel differently and have tried to promulgate that around the world with their free trade agreements. We don't necessarily agree with that. We would like to see those items not be included in any trade agreement. I pointed out, frankly, some of the hypocrisy of that issue in that Greece is known for its feta cheese, and there's not really a feta Greece.
Purdue says there's been discussions between President Trump and the EU president on progress happening in weeks, not months.
Another Minnesota Pork Congress is in the books. Trade, consumer trends, and biosecurity were all topics covered at this year's event. Minnesota Pork Producers Association CEO David Preisler says the industry is focused on market trends.
You know, we've been pretty disappointed how things have turned out from a standpoint of hog prices, especially for what kind of happened in the third and fourth quarter of 2019. I think there was a lot of anticipation that things would be better. And so a lot of discussion about, you know, what's going to happen now that, you know, with the agreement with China, you know, the optimism hopefully now that comes with the agreement with Japan that just kicked in on the first of the year. And then, you know, really some upbeat news here, the signing of USMCA.
As African swine fever spreads across Asia, Preisler says prevention and preparation efforts are continuing here in the U.S. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The coronavirus continues to be a major news story, and it's impacting the grain markets. There are more than 7,000 confirmed cases in China. Some cities and provinces may extend the Lunar New Year holiday even more. They have already extended the holiday to February 3rd. Also, the China state television is asking all soybean crushers to resume production to increase supplies during the outbreak. Slaughterhouses received similar instruction.
According to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, it's unknown how the coronavirus will impact China's purchases in the Phase 1 trade deal. The markets are responding on that commentary. Allendale's chief strategist Rich Nelson says the markets had more confidence in China purchasing products from the U.S. regardless of the coronavirus. There are concerns of viability.
You know, we definitely have some big questions, and honestly, it throws a big wrench in our price outlooks for 2020 for a lot of these products. Now, certainly on the soybean side, we feel a bit more confident in saying that they probably will have to come to the U.S. and it will fulfill at least all or the clear majority of the obligations there. The question this really brings to mind here is certainly on the livestock side, specifically with the pork purchases here.
The Commodity Futures Trading Commission will consider new limits for hedge funds and other speculative traders when it meets today. If it passes, it will limit the number of possible speculative positions. This move is designed to reduce chaotic swings in the market and possible market manipulation.
The U.S. economy is starting 2020 strong. According to the U.S. Commerce Department, gross domestic product increased seasonally and at an inflation-adjusted annual rate of 2.3% last year, after a 2.1% increase in the fourth quarter. The Federal Reserve expects moderate economic growth to continue.
The 2020 outlook for canola appears that acres will remain steady. Northern Canola Growers Association Executive Director Barry Coleman says last year a lot of farmers didn't have the quality issues that other crops experienced.
We do have a few more abandoned canola acres than normal, maybe 2 or 3% versus a normal 1%. So there are some pockets of canola that were abandoned that they may try to harvest in the spring. But overall, yields did very well last year. So a lot of growers are going to stick with canola going into the next year here. Unfortunately, the last month, you know, oilseed complex has really suffered a price drop from different things going on in the global economy. So at the current time, prices are not looking very good for oil seeds, but we're certainly hoping that seasonal tendency will run up this spring.
Coleman goes on to say canola demand continues to be strong. The crush rate in Canada has been running well above the average pace.
In the U.S., we're running a little bit behind our pace from last year, but we're certainly seeing plenty of demand for canola oil. We're seeing more demand in the biodiesel sector as well. And canola is fairly priced compared to competing oil seeds, so the end users should continue strong demand for canola, and we're continuing to see a real strong crush pace, like I said, in Canada. Consuming a lot of the canola that's in the stockpiles.
Last year was tough for canola growers. BASF seed advisor Bob Volf says there are a few new products available this year to help farmers.
First one out the gate is our new 300 series. We got two products out the door, two hybrids. 345 is our new number one product. That yield performance in 2019 was amazing. Topped the charts in not only eastern North Dakota, western North Dakota, northern North Dakota. The yield performance and stability in yield is unprecedented in this product. And not only is it a pod shatter trait product, but then it's also, like you said, the multi-gene club root resistance like we have in our current 234 lineup as well. So I'm very excited to have that one out at the local retail with the grower this year as well. So we made it within BASF to ensure that we have this hybrid.
Bull says hybrid placement is key.
Valero Energy's ethanol segment is showing a profit for the fourth quarter. The company produced an average of 4.3 million gallons a day, the same as 1 year ago, but the unit had an operating income of $36 million. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Associated Milk Producers Incorporated Board Chairman Steve Schlangen was at the White House on Wednesday for the signing of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. Schlangen says the new terms protect dairy trade with Mexico.
Because they are our biggest market for dairy and a lot of agriculture, and we wanted to make sure in this deal that that didn't get messed up. With Mexico, it was more about manufacturing. But with Canada, this is going to give us a little bit of access for dairy, but it's also going to stop their class 6 and class 7, which they kind of created over the last few years, and they were actually undercutting our prices in the global market with their excess powder that they were making because of the extra butter that people need in the world these days.
Schlangen says there are items in the agreement Canada can't live without.
Yeah, I know they're going to have some heartburn over the dairy issue, but they're working on ratifying it right now, and we expect that to happen. I don't know how soon, but it'll be a good thing. And the other things going into Canada, I mean, we have a lot of chicken producers in Stearns County and Minnesota that produce either chicken for meat or eggs, and the poultry going into Canada should increase by about 20% as far as the meat goes, and eggs more like 500%.
Corteva is reporting full year net sales for 2019 at $13.8 billion, down 3% compared to the prior year. Corteva CEO James Collins Jr. says the company is expecting more normal weather conditions in North America to set the stage for further performance improvements. For the final quarter of 2019, Corteva has a net sales increase of 6% and an increase for volume. The volume increase is driven by North America as a result of stronger sales in multi-channel seed brands and Enlist herbicides ahead of 2020.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, March Minneapolis wheat up 1.25 at 537. March Chicago wheat down 1 at 561.25. March Kansas City wheat down 0.25. March corn down 3.75 at 380.5. July corn down 4 at 390.5. March beans down 15.75 at 877.25. July beans down 15.5 at 905.25. Livestock markets still trading mixed, mostly lower here at midday. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.